Hello, Pastor Brandon here, and here is a post-recording of our time to hear and respond to a message from God's Word on Sunday, June 19th, 2022. Before we dig into where it was the Word of the Lord brought us yesterday, we do apologize for the interruption of our live stream that we did experience on Sunday due to a wireless mic that decided it didn't want to turn off and wanted to start running low on batteries, causing this really bad kind of wadding paper sound to come through into our live stream feed. And so we were unable to recover any of the video or the audio. But this is our time that we had right here to hear and respond to a message from God's Word, where God's Word brought us to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, which says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, before we dive into this, I want to start by first saying we will primarily be focusing on that last verse we just read, verse 10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And in this, I would like to take some time to explain why and to talk about where it is we will be going and what it is we'll be doing today and for the next several weeks as a family of families. During this time, we have to hear and respond to a message from God's Word. In particular, we are going to begin a new series around the subject matter of calling. If you have been in Christ and surrounded yourself with the community of faith for any period of time, whether it been 1 minute or 100 years, you've certainly heard this word used quite a few times. You've probably heard people say, "It is my calling." More likely, you've probably heard people say, "It isn't my calling," which we will have much to explore on that statement at some point in this series, because what we realize about calling is as long as it's about sharing the hope and love of Jesus, it is all our callings. But more on that later in this series, though. The point is, if you've been around God's people for any amount of time, you have heard this word used, bringing us to a very important question. What does it even mean? Calling, as we use it in the church, is something that Google actually defines pretty well for us. It says this: it's a strong urge toward a particular way of life or career, a vocation. It has the synonyms of vocation and mission associated with it. And with this being understood, we will be asking some very important and probing questions in regards to this over the next several weeks. In particular, do we have one? How would we know it? And how would we live in it and do it? These are all important questions that must be addressed in regards to this thing we call a calling. All questions we deal with to answer a great existential question many in our society today are asking in regards to their very existence. Many here today or online may be asking it, in fact. Everyone at some point in time in their life, I believe, asked this question. The question in regards to calling we will be wrestling with this morning. This question is there more than this? Have you ever asked that question in your life? Have you ever asked that question in regards to your walk with Jesus? Is there more to this life than what I've seen and experienced? Is there more? Is there more to following Christ than what I've seen and experienced? Or is it simply punching my time card weekly, sitting in my spot, half singing some songs, and pretending to listen to this guy preach for about 30 minutes every week, wondering if I'm going to beat the lunch rush? Is there more than this? Have you ever asked this question? The short and simple answer is yes, there is so much more. There is so much more than what we typically see and experience in this life. And there is so much more to living a life for Christ than what we see and experience here within these four walls gathered together as God's church. There is so much more than this. And understanding what calling is helps us see the more there is. Bringing us back to the questions we will be asking these next several weeks in regards to this. Do we have one? How would we know it? And how would we live and do it? Starting with the first and foremost question we will be addressing during this series to find the more there is to life and life in Christ. Do we have one? Do we have callings, purpose, and mission given to us by God? If we're followers of Christ, the simple and short answer to this question is yes, we do. Each and every one of us, young and old, have a calling. We have been given a great and wonderful calling. In fact, this is something the Word of God testifies to time and time again. In particular, very clearly here in Ephesians 2:10, which once again says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Nevertheless, far too often today, we read this passage in itself, and I believe many times fail to fully grasp the significance of it and what it actually is saying. Now, as we've already read this three times today, I want us to read it again here in a moment, but with a different understanding attached to it, with a different lens of which to read it from, in particular in regards to its context. And I've said this time and time again, there is no text without context. And it is in the context of a text or passage that we can begin to understand and see clearly what it really has to say to us. In particular, this passage's context begins with understanding the letter of Ephesians for what it is. If you would look at the letter introductions in most study Bibles, or even simply Google search about the history of and origins of this letter to Ephesians, you will see how it was considered a general letter, even though it would have been initially addressed to the faithful followers who were in Ephesus. It was intended to be a letter for all in Christ and circulated around to all who could get their hands on it. Emphasis on why we have it here today. It is for us here today, just like it was for them in Ephesus and for them in Asia Minor then. This letter was meant to be circulated. It was meant to be broadcast. Paul wrote it with this intent. No wonder the Council of Nicaea in 300 AD decided to canonize it into the New Testament. Canonize, which is just a fancy word that simply means to be put into the list. It was put into the list of writings that would be later added to the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. It is important to note this because Paul's intent here is clear. Once again, he is writing to not just one church body within the greater body of Christ. No, he is writing to the whole church, the whole body of Christ, the whole assembly of his people. To whoever would read this work, keep this in mind when you read any part of Ephesians. It is the actual intent of this letter to be something that was transmitted and carried forth from community to community and generation to generation. It wasn't written just for the context of Ephesus. It was written for the context of everywhere and every generation. It doesn't just apply then, it applies today. much like the whole counsel of God, didn't just apply to when it was written. It wasn't just for that context, but it was for every context, all people, anyone who would come into a knowing, loving relationship, right relationship, righteous relationship with God. And it is here in the second chapter, the primary context of this verse, we begin to see what Paul is trying to communicate to us when he gets to verse 10, as he starts by taking us to the dark valley of the soul in verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. He then reinforces this in verse 2 and 3, what he means by this, and he shows us how desperate in need we were. And then he shows us in this desperate need in verses 4 through 7, what Jesus has done to take us to such great heights from the depth of the soul we were. He takes us to these such great heights, and we see the pinnacle of this in verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, to then show us how this is all done through amazing grace in verses 8 and 9, that it's not something we have done on our own, but it is a free gift that has been given to us to God through Christ and Christ alone. And we have to ask, why? Why would God do this? Why would God give this away for free, especially to us, which Paul has established, who were considered children of wrath? Why would God look at us, children of wrath, and then choose to make us children of God? Why would he do this? Paul explains in verse 10. He explains to us in verse 10. And in verse 10, we find the answer to that great existential question that we are asking today. Is there more to this? Is there any purpose beyond this? And church, I want you to know, I have come to discover in my own walk and journey with Christ, there is so, so much more. Hence what verse 10 says in its context. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Paul here then has taken us, once again, through the amazing depths in that dark valley of the soul to the amazing heights of which we have been given in Christ through his amazing grace and work on the cross to accomplish an amazing work he has prepared for us, it says, beforehand, meaning that God had prepared this beforehand. It's not something he prepared after he did this amazing work of grace. No, he had this planned beforehand. In other words, before he came and died for us and rose again, which Paul shows us here in verse 10, God had, God has, and God is seeing to a plan. And you, each and every one of you, myself included, are part of it. An amazing work, an amazing plan. But what is this amazing work, an amazing plan of God? To understand this and how this amazing work God is calling us to is our only proper response to the work of Jesus in our lives, we must understand what Paul means when Paul calls us God's workmanship. To understand this, we first need to understand the word workmanship doesn't quite fully cut it. It doesn't quite fully capture the significance of the Greek here. The word in Greek is poema, from which we derive our English word for poem from. We are God's poem. In a sense, that would be the literal translation from Greek to English. However, this word, poem, doesn't fully capture the fullness of the original Greek meaning at all either, because though poema could mean poem, it also was used for any work of art. It could mean a statue or a song or a piece of architecture. It could mean a poem, a painting. The best translation for this word, though, which some translations actually use, is God's masterpiece, his masterful work of fine art. For we are God's masterpieces, Paul says here. And let's just take a moment for that to sink in. One commentator says it best to help us do just this. God is the creator. Nothing exists apart from him. He brought everything into being. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Psalm 19:1. The galaxies, the stars, our solar system are his handiwork. Yet as wonderful as the cosmos are, it is not his masterwork. We, his children, are the ones who have been redeemed by Christ and are being made new again each and every day. Can you just take a moment to think of the most beautiful place you have seen in all of creation? Take a moment to think about that, whether it be the swelling waves on a sandy beach, the peak of some tall and majestic mountain, or the General Sherman standing as the largest living thing in the whole world, majestic and strong. Take a moment and think about that beautiful work of art of God's creation. You are more beautiful to God than all of those combined. Yes, you, the church, are more of a masterpiece to him than all of them. You are indeed his masterwork, and you are still being made more and more into a masterpiece each and every single day, discovering and learning the abundance of life that comes to us through Jesus Christ. And as one commentator put it best, the best part is he's not even finished with you yet. Sure, he has created us into this masterpiece, but he is, as we've already addressed, continuing to work this masterful work in our lives, molding us and shaping us and forming us into an even better masterpiece. We are all works in progress, and praise be to God for that. Understanding this more fully, we can begin to understand the rest of what this passage lays out for us. What for? What did God do this for? Why would God do this? And it is here where we find the answer to the question we're wrestling with about our very existence. Is there more than this? And here is where we find, in the what for, we find that simple and profound yes. Yes, there's so much more than this. As verse 10 shows us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Do we have a calling in this life? Why, yes. Yes, we do. Each and every one of us do. And it's more than what most think about when you hear the word calling being used and talked about amongst God's people. Because as we, each and every one of us, have a specific role within the greater body of Christ to see to, we also have a greater general calling to see to, given to us by Christ Jesus, to go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all he has commanded. All of those individual specific callings, most of the time, people are discussing, in fact, funnel and point to this great general calling that Jesus is giving us all to know Christ and to make him known to the whole of creation. Something in our modern culture we have called the Great Commission, as we have defined as knowing Christ and making him known. However, it's also something in our modern culture that's become more like the Great Omission. If you ask me, by God's church, sadly, this calling and charge Jesus gives all of us to be the salt and light of this world, the very same calling God gives Abraham in Genesis 12:1-3, where it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I don't think we realize or recognize this in light of the Great Commission. And in the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have all become inheritors of this calling and great mission that's been given to Abraham to become a signpost to the God of all creation, to truly be what God has created us to be, his image bearers, so that when people would see us, they would see him. that we would direct everything here on earth towards him. For we, just like Abram, who would later be renamed, remade, and renewed by God into Abraham, have been remade, renewed, and renamed by Christ. Now, you may wonder, well, I get the remade and renewed thing, but the renamed? Let's just take a look at what is to come still for us in our inheritance in Christ that we see in Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. The same work that God was doing then in Abraham was leading to the same and greater work he is presently doing through Christ in us. Even more so, just like Abraham, we have been called forth by God from what we know, from what we were comfortable with, from our former lives into the unknown life of trust and dependency upon him, to a kingdom we do not yet fully know or understand. As Jesus shows us on multiple occasions, his kingdom is not like any kingdom of this world, that he has called us out of this world into this heavenly kingdom, as Paul proclaims, as we discussed here recently two Sundays ago, that we've become ambassadors of and representatives of this kingdom of God. We have indeed become vessels of God's blessings to the whole world. And the whole of creation is to find who God really is in and through us. And it doesn't matter if you've been a follower of Jesus for 1 minute or 100 years, you have been given this call. You have been given this great mission, and you share in this call, for you are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for works just like this. You may think, okay, I get that. But what about those more specific callings everyone seems to always be talking about? Those callings people say, the things we hear all the time when we talk about this thing called calling. Once again, the simple and short answer is yes. And Ephesians 2:10 is talking about this as well. It is talking about the fact that we do have this general wonderful calling, but we also, each and every one of us, have a way that we live out that general and wonderful calling as all members, as Paul would say, of his greater body. Paul would expertly explain this, in fact, by illustrating this in terms of a body, explaining that we all have different functions and different roles, just like a body has all these different parts that serve different functions and different roles. Some are ears, some are eyes, some are hands, and some are pinkies. And as Paul explains in great detail, which you can find in 1 Corinthians 12, 12:31, every single part matters, even the pinky. As I was manuscripting my sermon this past Sunday, I tried to actually type without my pinkies for a little bit just to see how well I would do. Needless to say, the results were disastrous. They were absolutely disastrous. And I don't need to say this for those who have ever hammered a nail. You only have to hit your finger once to know that you're really glad a nail is there, especially on your pinky. I digress. The point being, no matter what part you are, you matter. No matter what your function within the greater general mission of the church, you matter. You living out your specific calling God has given in your life matters. And something Paul also makes clear, the whole body suffers when one part is not functioning properly. Something Ephesians 2:10 also makes clear to us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It matters that we would walk in them as our only proper and right response to Christ for what Christ has done by taking us from that deep, dark valley of the soul to the great heights of being seated with him in the heavenly places. Bringing us to an ever-important question we will be asking these next several weeks. How do we find this? Can we find this? If so, how do we truly live in it? The purpose and mission he has given us. The important point for us to understand today is yes, yes, there is more to this. There is so much more in store for those who profess faith in Christ and seek to live in the newness of life that there is in Him. There is so much more. Understanding, discovering this only begins with understanding that greater general purpose God has given us all. Understanding all of our callings all point to that greater general calling. He has given us His church. The ultimate task, no matter our specific calling, to achieve this task in life, being to love God, love others as ourselves, and make more and better disciples. Something, once again, we have come to summarize as a family of families, to know Christ and to make Him known. Bringing us to a very important question in regards to all of this. Are you living it out? Are you living out this great general calling God has given us all? How would you know, though? Here are a few questions to do that needed self-examination to know. Is your life a signpost for Christ? Have you found yourself living as a vessel of God's blessing to others like Abraham? Are you presently bringing the message of Christ to the world around you? Ultimately, when was the last time you shared with someone the hope you have in Jesus? It begins here. The more there is to life and purpose begins here in Christ. It begins all right here. It begins with living out this ultimate and wonderful general calling He has given all of us. I would even dare say, you will never discover the true given purpose, your true calling in Christ, if you would never first seek to live out this ultimate purpose He has given us all. This ultimate purpose that He continues to provide for us all. In fact, Jesus talks about this. Jesus teaches about this. He gives us a parable about this, that He spoke about a master who was going on a journey and how He entrusted His servants with the property He left behind. It's known as the parable of the talents, and it's found in Matthew 25:14-31. And here's what it says. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In conclusion, begging us to ask, what have we done with the initial investment Jesus has made for us to redeem us and restore us and send us forth on mission? What have we done to live out the greater general calling in all of our lives that He has given to us? What have we done with that first talent? Only in wisely managing that will we find the more. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen and amen.